So we looked at King Jehoshaphat last week, who became king at the age of 35, and he reigned for 25 years. Then his son Jehoram became king at the age of 32, and he reigned for 8 years. And he was an evil king. He killed all his brothers and other princes. Chapter 21 of 2 Chronicles, chapter 11, tells us about him. And then Prophet Elijah wrote a letter warning to him in verses 12 through 15 of chapter 11. Chapter 11. I'm going to skip that chapter. He was invaded by his enemies, and the enemies carried away his sons and wives and possessions, and he died a tragic death. Then his son Ahaziah became king at the age of 42 and reigned for a short period of 1 year. And in chapter 22 of 2 Chronicles, verses 2 through 5 talks about Ahaziah. Ahaziah was 42 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother advised him to do wickedly. Therefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors, after the death of his father, to his destruction. He also followed the advices and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria. And verse 7, his going to Joram was God's occasion for Ahaziah's downfall. For when he arrived, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. There was none in the royal family of Judah left to take over the kingdom of Ahaziah. Now, the two portions that we are considering this morning is 2 Kings chapter 11 through chapter 12, and then 2 Chronicles chapter 22, starting at verse 10, and we will mainly focus on the 2 Chronicles portion. Now, God's promises to King Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, God established the throne of David, and the perpetuation of the throne of David had been God's plan. Jesus, called the Son of God, who was of the lineage of David, will finally sit on his throne one day and rule the whole world. The inscription on the cross above his head while he was hanging on the cross was, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." in chapter 6, Solomon prayed to God a lengthy prayer. And after the temple is built, and offered thousands of sacrifices, he sincerely interceded with God for his people. Now, first, there is a charge for the people of God to be conveyed by King Solomon to his people. And second, is a personal charge given to King Solomon. We know that this did not happen with many of the future kings and the people. They failed to worship the true God. Solomon's united kingdom of all 12 tribes was divided into northern kingdom of 10 tribes who rebelled against Rehoboam, Solomon's son, and the southern kingdom of 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. Northern kingdom went after the sins of Jeroboam. We heard about it in the first meeting. The first king of Israel of the 10 tribes who led their people to idol worship, rejecting the true God, prohibiting the people to go to Jerusalem to worship. They were scattered and led captives by Assyrians in BC 722, and they became the 10 lost tribes. Spiritual darkness and the propensity to sin were so pervasive among the people and many of the kings of Judah, with a few exceptions. Judah and Jerusalem were invaded and destroyed by Babylonians, and the Jews were exiled around BC 582. Now, these are the two charges given to Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And in verse 17, and this is the charge, the personal charge given to Solomon. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom, as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as a ruler in Israel. And here's the divided kingdom of the 10 tribes in the north, and Judah and Benjamin circled by the red in the of the southern kingdom, and the ones circled in blue are the 10 tribes. Who is Ataliah? We just read about her a little earlier. In we read earlier who is Ataliah, who is the granddaughter of King Omri of the northern kingdom of Israel. Now, she was the wife of King Jehoram, or Joram, and the mother of Ahaziah. Now, she had evil influence on her son, Ahaziah, and we can see that in chapter 22, verses 2 through 7. Ahaziah was 42 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. I think we already read that, so I won't go there again. Ahaziah becomes a casualty. That's in verse 9 of chapter 22. And Ataliah was an idol worshiper after her fathers and was a heartless murderer. a serious piece of advice for guys who are planning to get married: be careful who you are going to get married to. The mother of your children will have major influence and how they will turn out in life. A godly mother will have great impact on your children. No guarantees, but it is more likely that the opposite could be more devastating. Now, Talia seized the opportunity to assume power upon her son's death. She began murdering the sons of Ahaziah one by one. But God intervened to save a successor to the throne of Ahaziah. God saves the youngest, one-year-old son. And the successor to the throne was taken to the temple and was hidden for 6 years while Athaliah was reigning, as she usurped the crown from Ahaziah. Joash is made king. An elaborate plot to make Joash the next king of Judah by the priest Jehoiada. And it's chapter 23, verses 1 through 11. We read in detail how God arrange for that to happen. God revealed to Jehoiada the priest the right time to move to make Joash the rightful heir, the king of Judah, and overthrow Athaliah. It took only one person whom God chose, a spiritual leader, Jehoiada the priest, probably the high priest, judging from his authority to command the army commanders and captains of the guards to arrange a coup so successfully. It was meticulously planned. On the day of coronation of the king, there was heavy security in and around the temple, as well as at the king's house. Now, God's justice was carried out, and Talia was killed to protect the seven-year-old king, as we see in verses 12 through 15. Now when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people in the temple of the Lord. Now when she looked, there was the king standing by his pillar at the entrance, and the leaders and the trumpeters were there by the king. All the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets, also the singers with the musical instruments and those who led in praise. So Athaliah tore her clothes and said, "Treason, treason." And Jehoiada was Ahaziah's sister, who rescued Joash as Athaliah was killing all his sons one by one. And the youngest one, who was 1 year old, was Joash, and he was taken to the temple, and she hid him there for 6 years. Now, Athaliah ruled for 6 years, but God's justice was carried out, and Athaliah was killed to protect the seven-year-old king. And Jehoiada and wife Jehoshabeth, guardians of the young king. So Jehoshabeth, who rescued Joash, was the wife of the high priest or the priest, Jehoiada. And God's justice will always be carried out, sometimes swift and sometimes delayed, but it will surely come. In this case, it took 6 years. Even though Atalia sat on the throne for 6 years, the rightful heir to the throne was protected in the house of the Lord. Evil may succeed temporarily, but in the long run, it will be defeated. It is amazing how God did not allow Atalia to become aware of such a large-scale operation by Jehoiada having a lot of people involved in it. That Sabbath day became an ill-fated day for Atalia, who woke up that day not knowing it would be her last day on earth. She heard all the jubilation, the singing and praising and dancing in the temple from her house. She came over to inquire what the deal was, and she could not believe her eyes. There stands a little boy with a crown on his head, and the crowd cheering, "Long live the king." She realized what just happened and screamed, "Treason, treason." She got a dose of her own medicine. Jehoiada ordered her killed outside the house of the Lord. They took her through the horse gate to the king's house and murdered her out there, because Jehoiada did not want her to be murdered in the house of the Lord. Now, Jehoshabeth, the aunt who saved his life and nurtured him for the past 6 years, now she and her husband would take care of and protect the young king till he reached the mature age to handle the kingdom. Those of you who would like a visual of the pictorial scene of the coronation, I really like the scene depicting Jehoiada kneeling down with the crown in one hand and the copy of the law in the other. Now, Rocky referenced Deuteronomy 17, where the principles governing a king is given. Now, one of them being the king must have a copy of the law all the days of his life. And this is Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. "Also it shall be, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book, from the one before the priests. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right or to the left, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." Now, human failings played a part in the lives of all these kings, and some did not follow the law entirely, but generally were good. Some miserably failed and did evil instead of good. And some did good in the beginning and then did evil. Now, Jehoiada takes charge after crowning the king, who is only a 7-year-old boy. He made a covenant between himself and the king and the people to be the Lord's people. And that's the first thing he does. Now, reformation can start with the house of the Lord. People are to be taught the truth, which is to be reflected in their personal and family lives. Now Jehoiada had realized making a commitment to be the Lord's people meant to be holy, obeying the commandments of God and worshiping in truth and in spirit. There is no room for idols in the Lord's house. We are not to follow any kind of show-off activities in the house of the Lord, making the people in ministry to be idols, whether it be in music or speaking or any other activities. In everything, we must give all the honor and glory to God. No personal glory for those who participate. We must be in His service. We see that in a lot of modern churches. I'm not against mega churches, but we can see some of them making idols of their leaders, and in several ministries going on in churches. Jehoiada was an honorable priest, and he did the right things to honor God. Now, the next thing he did is he tore down the temple of Baal. What did he organized a cleanup of the Baal worship. He took all the people together and eliminated everything associated with the Baal worship. He took all the people that were there and went over to the temple of Baal and tore down everything. We can see that in verse 17. And all the people went to the temple of Baal, tore it down, and they broke in pieces its altars and images and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And then he put the house of the Lord in order. That's verses 18 and 19. And Jehoiada appointed the oversight of the house of the Lord to the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had assigned in the house of the Lord, to offer burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and singing, as it was established by David. And he set the gatekeepers at the gates of the house of the Lord, so that no one who was in any way unclean should enter. Jehoiada restored the sacrifice of burnt offerings in the temple. There was music and rejoicing again in the house of the Lord. After Ahaziah and Ataliah, who did not care much about the things of the Lord, and the temple was not taken care of, nor the sacrifices were performed on a daily basis. Now, these things were discontinued under King Joash's predecessors. Now, the young king, Joash, was now old enough to remember all what he was witnessing. Jehoiada made an impression on the young king. He certainly did not get a chance to see these things growing up in Ahaziah's house, nor his grandmother, Ataliah, was of any help. He barely saw her after the age of one. Jehoiada then organized a procession from the temple to the king's house with Joash. Now Jehoiada invited all the VIPs to accompany the king from the temple to the king's house. They set the king on the throne It was a great relief. It was a great relief for the people of Judah. There was peace in the land and great rejoicing. Now the rule of Joash. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord, as we read in verses 2 and 3 of chapter 24. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took two wives for him, and he had sons and daughters. Now it happened after this, that Joash set his heart upon repairing the house of the Lord. Jehoiada was a great influence in Joash's life. He was an inspiration for Joash to walk in God's ways. Jehoiada arranged two wives for Joash, and he had a family with sons and daughters. Now, Joash now set his heart on repairing the house of the Lord. And we can see the measures that he has taken in verses 4 through 6. Now, Joash charged the priests and the Levites to go out and collect the money that was due to be collected according to Moses' commandment, whether it is personal taxes or property taxes or freewill offerings. It is not a very popular job to go to the people and collect taxes. So the Levites dragged their feet and did not do it quickly. And Joash wanted the repair to start immediately, but there was not enough money to start the work. So Joash made a public proclamation to people to bring the dues to the house of the Lord. Joash commanded then a chest to be made for people to bring in the offerings to be deposited in the chest. Now Joash decided to take things in his own hands, because the Levites and even Jehoiada the priest did not encourage the priests to go out and collect these taxes. So Joash made arrangements for this chest to be put in the house of the Lord. And people were happy to bring in their money for the work of repairing the house of the Lord. End of each day, the Levites brought the chest to the king's scribe and the high priest's officer, and they counted the money and returned the chest to the Levites to be placed in the Lord's house for the next day's collection. When there was enough money to start the work, they hired carpenters and masons, iron and bronze workers, and the king and Jehoiada distributed the money to these workers. And the work was successfully completed, verses 13 and 14. The work was completed, and the repairs done restored the house of the Lord to its original condition, as we read. However, there were vessels and other articles of the sanctuary that were missing. Now, verse 7 of this chapter tells us, "Now the sons of that wicked woman, Ataliah, had broken into the temple of God and had used even its sacred objects for the temple of Baal." There was enough money left over for them to replace these lost items, articles for the service, for the burnt offerings, and also dishes and other objects of gold and silver. The sacrifices were continued daily as long as Jehoiada lived. Now he became old and died at the age of 130. He got a decent burial with the kings in the city of David. For all his accomplishments, people honored him. Now Joash turns wicked. Leaders of Judah visits King Joash in chapter 24. And the secular leaders of Judah, who were doing so well, enjoying a happy and prosperous life under Jehoiada and Joash. When prosperity increased, people tend to forget the reason for their blessings. They grew weary of living according to the strict rules of the law of Moses. A little idol worship seemed to be okay. Now, in verse 18, we see that prophets were sent to them and tried in vain to bring them back. They would not listen. Now, Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, pleaded with the people. Now, people had gone far from the Lord, and even Zechariah could not make any sense to them. They ignored his call and resisted him. So he had to give them the bad news. Why do you disobey the Lord's commands? You will not prosper. Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has forsaken you. Now, reading between the lines, we can see that the people were resistant due to Joash's indifference. Joash was not willing to stand with Zechariah, whose parents saved his life and raised Joash from the age of one. Joash would not have survived and become a king without their help. Joash ordered Zechariah to be stoned to death. It is hard to imagine how Joash turned out to be like this. He has turned out to be an ungrateful and wicked murderer of the man of God. Zechariah prayed to God to deal with Joash as he lay dying in the very courtyard of the house of God. His father and Joash together repaired and restored. He prayed, "The Lord look on it and repay." Now, God intervened, and he had to be the just God who executed judgment on Joash. And the Lord brought the Syrians, and Joash was attacked, and Judah was attacked by the Syrians. It was God's judgment on Joash and the leaders of Judah. He sent the Syrian army to invade Judah. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, but with the Lord delivered a very great army into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord, God of their fathers. Now we can see in the scriptures that there were instances when they had a small company of Israelites defeating their enemies with large armies. But here, a small army of the Syrians came and they defeated the large, great army of Judah. So they executed judgment against Joash. What a tragic end for a king. Joash lay in bed, wounded, and his servants killed him on his bed. What a tragic end for a king who started out so good and passionate about the things of God, but ended up as an enabler of idol worship in Judah and a callous murderer. They buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. Joash became king at the age of 7 and reigned for 40 years and died at the age of 47. God's plan prevails against Satan's plans. God is a God of restoration because of his mercy and compassion toward mankind. He is always looking for those who honor and serve him to fulfill his plans. The sinful nature that man inherited creeps up in our lives when he always provides a way of escape and helps us to get back to him. Those who are willing to confess their sins and return to him, he will never forsake them. Now, Bob has, some of you know him, used to say, God knows what he's doing, and he is doing it. What a tragic story of a king who started out good, who was passionate about doing God's will. Now, there was influence of the northern kingdom and the northern kings and the wives from Ahab's family that had influence on the kings of Judah. And it has always been the plan of God to continue the throne of David. And God's plan prevails against Satan's plans. Now, reformation must be promoted and practiced at the house of God, which will impact his people. Disobedience surely brings God's punishment, sometimes swiftly, sometimes delayed. Our bodies are temple of God, where true God is worshipped. No place for idol worship. May God enable us to examine our lives and see if the true God is worshipped in us, in our minds, and in our hearts. And if there are idols in our hearts that we worship or that we follow or that we try to give place to from time to time, may God bless us to remove them and seek God's help to do that. And my time is up. Let's close in prayer. God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these stories that are recorded for us so that we could read them and learn from those, and that we would learn the importance of following you and to follow your commandments and to follow the way of truth. Lord, in these times, as we hear of truth and alternate truth, we realize that Eve in the Garden of Eden was presented with an alternate truth about God. And we pray that you would enable us to read your word and to be faithful in our lives and follow the true God. And pray that you would remove any of Satan's lies that enter our hearts that would drag us away from godly ways. We commit each one of us into your hands. Bless us and keep us in your grace. And lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.